If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read 4 verses here, which should be very familiar. First Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I'm going to stop right there. What I'm going to try to speak to this morning is very simple: the blood of Christ. Extremely important, but very simple. But before I get really started, I do want to clearly proclaim at the beginning of this one definitive statement, and that is this definitive statement: the blood of Christ is real. It is absolutely real. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that the blood of Christ is not a metaphor. It is not a type. The blood of Christ is not a picture. In the scriptures, where it says the blood of Christ, it means the blood of Christ. It's not the most pleasant of subjects to bring up on a Sunday morning, but it is one of the most important, because it, the blood of Christ, is one of the reasons why we're here right now. I'm not here to make the blood of Christ pretty or less offensive. The cross, Paul told us, is offensive. And that's not only because of the torture and the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only because some people will look at you and say, "You believe God was killed? Your God died?" Yes, he did. But also, one of the reasons it is offensive to a lot of people is because of the blood of Christ. This book, by some, is called a bloody book. And this book, by some, is called a book of blood. And some certainly mean that as an insult, as a jibe, as a derision. "I can't believe you people call that the good book." This is a book of blood. From the beginning to the end, you will see blood in it. But all of the blood offered in the Old Testament, all of the blood spoken of in the Old Testament, all of the blood our Lord preached about, everything in the epistles is talking about, was leading up to, and is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is precious. It is precious to us. There are people, they don't like bloodshed in the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a history book, but it is full of history. And it is actually full of the accurate history of man. And I don't know where these people went to school, but if you read between the lines, because you had to when I was in school in the history books, they made us study wars. When they started, when they ended. This whole country is nothing but bloodshed from then up until now. The Bible tells the truth about man, but mostly what the Bible is for is to reveal the truth about God. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it is the blood that makes the atonement. And the blood of Christ is real, absolutely real. But Peter starts off this statement with a negative. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You were not redeemed by corruptible things. Now he is writing to, in this case, to believers. It says it in the very beginning, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. They are strangers scattered. And it is mostly Jewish strangers. But they are the elect. This is Peter writing to his brethren. That's who this whole epistle is dedicated to, is written to. So he says, you were not redeemed with silver and gold. Why? Because silver and gold have nothing to do with redemption. Period. Money can't help you, and idols can't help you. Not when it comes to redemption. Nothing has nothing to do with it. By your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Your fathers have nothing to do with redemption. Your fathers have nothing to do with being redeemed. Whenever I look at stuff like this, Mason, I always look at it this way. Tradition is a nice way of saying unscriptural. For the most part, when they're talking about traditions in the scriptures, they're talking about traditions that go against the scriptures. Silver and gold didn't redeem anyone. The traditions of men have never redeemed a single soul. Never. But even through this negative statement, you'll see that there is redemption. He's going to say it in the next verse. Ye were redeemed, but not by these. There is the truth of redemption in the Old Testament, in types and shadows and figures, but not in the traditions of the fathers. Not in the traditions. Because there is no work of men in redemption. In any way, shape, or form. Redemption is the solo act of God. Father, Son, and Spirit, but one God. And here he tells us in the next verse, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the positive side. Ye were redeemed. Rejoice. But ye were redeemed. Notice very carefully, it is in the past tense. Totally and completely in the past tense. But ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Not silver, not gold, not traditions of men, of fathers. The blood of Christ. Now, blood redemption was shown in the Old Testament, like I said, in types, shadows, and figures. Christ the Messiah was foretold from the beginning. He's going to bruise the serpent's head. The serpent was going to bruise his heel. Abel offered a sacrifice. What? Of a lamb. Cain did not. And you can just go on from there. In Leviticus 17, I want to turn there for just a moment. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10, I think. That's what I got written down. And I hope it's right. It tells us a little bit about why the blood is important. Leviticus 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from the people. Then he tells you why. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you where? Upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. I don't want to get too scientific or anything, but God said the blood is the life of the flesh. You can't live without blood. There's no way. The blood goes to every single part of your body. It'll go to your ears. It'll go to your cheeks to make them red when you blush, if you're embarrassed. It goes to your fingers. It goes to your toes. It goes to your heart. It goes through your lungs. It goes through your kidney. It goes everywhere in the body. And this is what God has said. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Don't eat it. I've given it to you upon the altar for sacrifice. This is a picture of Christ's blood. This is what this is for. All these sacrifices in the Old Testament, now not all of them had blood. There were a few that didn't. You had the meat offering, which is actually seems more like a grain offering. You have the drink offering, which was wine. But all the others start off with an animal being killed, whether it's a ram, a bullock, a sheep, a lamb, a turtle dove. There's blood being shed and placed upon the altar. It is the blood that maketh the atonement. And right here Peter tells us, ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And I do want to point out that little word where it says we are redeemed with the blood. Peter writes that the blood of Christ is the instrument, the means of redemption. We were redeemed with his blood. It's a real thing. Like I said, it's not a metaphor. It's not an illusion. It's not pretense. We were redeemed with his blood. We don't have his blood. We are not given his blood. Yet it is with his blood we are redeemed. What does that mean? Well, firstly, it means men have nothing to do with redemption. Men, his chosen, women, his chosen from before the foundation of the world, were redeemed with his blood, the precious blood of Christ. And second, all of this is in the past tense. Peter wrote this like 1900 years ago, and he wrote it in the past tense to people who were alive then. Blood of Christ has been shed. The precious blood of Christ was shed over 2,000 years ago, or around 2,000 years ago. With that blood, that precious blood, ye were redeemed. And it does say, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ is the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. There was a covenant made. from before the foundation of the world. And that covenant was between the eternal Father and the eternal Son. Now, it did concern us, those who were chosen in Him, predestinated in Him. But we didn't have a vote in this covenant. We didn't have a part in this covenant. This is between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They decided, He decided, God decided to save His people from their sins. And they decided that the Son would come and shed His precious blood for the redemption of His people. He would redeem His people with His blood. This is for you, not by you. This is for you, not through you. Paul states it in Acts chapter 20. I do want to read that because I don't trust my memory. Speaking to the Ephesian elders, he called them to him. In verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Verse 28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, take heed to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood." The blood of Christ is the blood of God. Literally. This is not, I'm not going to spiritualize anything. I'm not trying to traumatize anyone. But literally, the blood of Christ is the blood of God. It's what Paul wrote. If Jesus Christ is God, then the blood of Christ is the blood of God. And He purchased His church, His people, with His own precious blood. We had absolutely nothing to do with that. Then it says, "Who by Him," now this "who's" different than the last "who," because it says "was manifest in these last times for you." Now that "who" is that "you," which is us, the redeemed, the believers, "who by Him do believe in God." We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. We are kept by the power of God through faith. We believe through the working of His mighty power. "Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." These are the elect, the redeemed, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit unto belief of the truth. Those that believe, believe by Him. And guess what? They were redeemed by His precious blood. Redemption has results. Big results. Wonderful results. But above all, gracious results. You were redeemed. You who were redeemed will believe. And you'll believe by Him. You're not going to believe by yourself. I don't care what anybody says. This book is clear. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. We do believe, but we only believe by the working of His mighty power. We believe by Him. And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God. Because that's what the book says, that's what the book means, that's what the book teaches. I'll quote it, Ephesians 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? That's the result of the redemption, of being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand and in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. Excuse me. Salvation, the salvation of the people of God, is because of the redemption with the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Forgiveness of sins is because of the redemption with the blood of Christ. Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission without blood. I didn't say that. The book says that. I just said it. But that's only because I believe it. I actually believe that. If Christ had not shed his precious blood, we wouldn't be saved. A holy God's got to be satisfied. A just God has got to be satisfied. And he said he was going to punish sin. Matter of fact, he said he's going to punish every sin. Not just the ones you know about. I'm in bad enough trouble if I got to take care of the ones I know about. But they're sins of omission as well as commission. And I'm bad at both of them. That's the way it is. I was born in sin, conceived in iniquity. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? It ain't me. And it ain't you. But I know the one that can clean. And you'll be whiter than snow. I know the one who redeems with his precious blood. Now, I do want to be clear about this. What you think and what I think of the blood of Christ does not matter to the purpose of the blood of Christ. The shed blood of Christ has performed that for which it was shed. I wasn't there, and neither were any of you. 1900 years ago, Peter wasn't there. He was there when the blood was shed, but he wasn't there when it was offered. What we think of the blood of Christ does not make the blood of Christ effectual. The blood of Christ is effectual. That's one of my next points. The people of God were redeemed with his blood. Because it's the shed blood that matters, not what we think about it. Jesus offering his blood to the Father, and the Father accepting that blood as the sacrifice for sin forever, is what matters in the matter of redemption. It is because of this completion of that covenant between the Father, Son, and Spirit that all the Father gave to the Son, what? Shall come to the Son. His redemption, his shed blood, has results in the child of God. I got five things here. Walter made me do this. I wrote them down. Five things about the blood of Christ I do want to point out very quickly. Number one, if you are redeemed, you were redeemed around 2,000 years ago. Redemption is a past deed accomplished by the Son of God and offered to the Father. Redemption and conversion are not the same thing, just as election and conversion are not the same thing. But because of the redemption, there's going to be conversion. That's it. Because what I'm saying here about the blood and about redemption being passed doesn't do away with anything else this book says about conversion and about regeneration and about life coming and about the gospel coming and you believing the gospel. That's the way God has decided to show us his redemption, to reveal it to us. It's in his word. All that's still true. But this part, the bloodshed upon which our hope salvation is based, is on the precious blood of Christ. That part is done. There's nothing to be put to it. There's nothing to be taken from it. God does it. God did it. And it shall be forever. Redemption, number two, redemption is only by his precious blood. With his precious blood. Now, like I said, in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb. A lamb, the lamb, and then take your lamb. And that blood was shed, and that blood was put up on the doorposts. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you about this. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. Because that blood was shed. That blood was offered. That blood was given to the Father. The sin offering, the Day of Atonement, all the way to what? There's a lamb slain as it had been slain in Revelations. From Genesis all the way to Revelations, there's a lamb slain and there's blood shed. And all of that is a picture, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That lamb in glory is our Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is only by his precious blood. I give you the blood upon the altar. What? To make atonement for you. Third thing about the blood of Christ. Those redeemed and brought in are justified by his blood. Romans 5 and 9 says, much more then, being now, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now we're justified. If you're a believer, if you're redeemed, and you're a believer, now you are justified. Oh, I'm hoping to be justified in the end. You better hope it happens before then. You better hope it happens before then. Because those at the end, I didn't say it last week. I thought about it after I left. I had it written down. I missed it. You know, when I talked about the wrath of God was not being revealed to the people in this world. It was revealed to believers. The righteousness of God and the wrath of God. When the wrath of God is revealed to people in this world, what do? They cry for the rocks in the mountain to fall on. Those redeemed will be justified here, now. Fourth thing, the offering of the blood of Christ was made by the Son to the Father, totally outside and completely away from the view of man. The offering with his blood once was made, not here. Let me turn to it, because I got scripture for this. I'm not just making up stuff. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Speaking of Christ, in verse 11, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. It wasn't of the tabernacle on earth. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. Where? Into the holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption. And it says for us. But you can leave that out. He's obtained eternal redemption. He'll tell you who it's for. You can put it in there. It's for us. It's for believers. It's for those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. But you understand, Christ didn't enter into the holy place, not the one made with hands. He entered into the holy place of what that was a figure of on this earth. He entered the presence of God with his precious blood. It says he entered by his precious blood. That blood was offered to the Father, and none of us were there. Because this was a covenant between the Father and the Son. And this is the fulfillment of the Father and the Son's covenant, the redemption of his body. The life of the body is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Guess what? The life of Christ's body here on earth is his blood. With his blood we are given life. I guess that is more metaphor. Redemption is done. He entered in once into the holy place. Those in the Old Testament were looking forward to this time right here when the Son took his blood to the Father. And right now we are looking back toward that. Like I said, that one offering has had, past tense, certain specific eternal results for his people. Hebrews 10 and verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Actually, it just says once. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the offering in 9:12, in Hebrews 9:12. Jesus Christ once made one offering to the Father, and with his blood he has obtained eternal redemption for his people. And he has perfected forever his people. What? With the precious blood of Christ. With his precious blood. The fifth thing, the last thing, is where it started. The blood of Christ is real. The blood of Christ is real. Like I said, this is not a metaphor, this is not an illusion. This is what this whole book was speaking to up until this point and on beyond it. Our Lord had to come, had to suffer. It says through the offering of his body. His body was broken and his blood was shed. When we eat the Lord's table, take this bread. It's my body which is broken for you. Take this cup and drink it. It's my blood that was shed for you. That we do in remembrance of what he actually did. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And his blood was offered, brought to the Father. And the Father, just like everything else Jesus Christ did, the Father was well pleased with the offering of his Son. It was exactly what they wanted. It's exactly what he wanted. It's exactly what they talked about. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I put it upon the altar to make an atonement with his precious blood. The blood of Christ is real, it is effective, and it is efficacious. I like that word efficacious. I had to look it up. Totally successful in producing a desired or intended result. I like that word. Efficacious. It was exactly what the Father and Son designed, and it was exactly what the Father and Son accomplished. They are completed. This covenant is completed in the redemption. There are things that are going to be done because of this redemption, because of this offering to the Father. But it all feeds out of here. Conversion is real. Regeneration is real. Christ's blood is real. That's why regeneration is real and conversion is real. Because of his precious blood. He literally offered his body and blood to the Father in heaven, and by this, his offering, he has obtained eternal redemption for us. And it's real and it's eternal for us. You start looking into some of these things, and then you get these crazy ideas. How in the world can anybody look at the blood of Christ and what he has accomplished, what he has done, what he said he done, and then tell you you can lose your salvation? What the heck does eternal redemption mean? People are depraved. And they will not have this man to reign over them. But I want this man to reign over me. And I want his blood to have been shed. And it was. And he has obtained eternal redemption. And he's working it out now. Walter said, just because redemption is done doesn't mean the world stopped. No. There's more stuff going on. And it's going to continue to go on until everyone for whom that precious blood was shed is called in and brought in to the Father by the Son. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this time and this place. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, everything you've done to us, the things you've done in us, all through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for many. In his name we pray. Amen.